Thomas had been blind all his life, for more than 50 years, half a century. He'd known nothing but the intense blackness of his handicap. He'd never known anything but that darkness. And then came the day when a world-renowned surgeon, following hours of delicate ophthalmic surgery, gently removed the bandages covering Thomas's eyes. There was one agonizing moment of tension and suspense. Would the patient, after all these years, be able to see again? Thomas, his heart pounding in his chest, blinked twice, then opened his eyes. And there it was, the blue sky outside, the curtains on the windows, the faces of his parents and friends, all the colors of the wallpaper, and the trees outside, and of course, the smile of the surgeon as he viewed the incredible results of his successful labor. Was blind, but now I see. Certainly, as we consider all the lyrics of the gospel song Amazing Grace, these four words, but now I see, have to be among the most poignant. What a miracle to see again after being blind. Now, most of us don't think a whole lot about walking. But have you ever walked after being lame? Have you listened to a symphony or the roar of a waterfall after being deaf for 30 or 40 years? The closest you and I will probably come to this experience is when we're sick in bed and then finally are well again and get up to enjoy life once more. What a marvelous sensation to feel good, to be well after such a long time of feeling miserable. But nothing can beat the miracle of seeing again when you were blind before. Seeing is such an all-powerful, all-encompassing, life-altering sense. And to have it when you didn't have it before. So few people have ever had that experience. You know, to be blind and to be lost kind of go together, don't they? They go together in daily life and in our spiritual lives as well. A blind person is going to lose his or her way. My friend, it's equally true and wonderfully true that to see again is also to be found again. What wonderful news in heaven when a lost person is found and that rescue mission reaches fulfillment when a blind person is brought at last to the point of sight. When the darkness of not seeing amazing grace is shattered by the searchlight of shining down from Calvary's cross, what a great moment that is. My dear friend, Pastor Mark Finley, who serves, in my opinion, as a modern Apostle Paul in his worldwide evangelistic campaigns, well, Mark tells about how he once met a young woman named Marcia during a series of meetings. At these meetings, she found Jesus and started living life all over again with Jesus. She wrote a note to Pastor Finley later, and it kind of went like this. Dear Pastor Finley, how could I have been so blind? How could I have been so stupid? I spent 31 years just running, looking for something. I don't know what. My philosophy was go, go, go. I've never been able to sit down and relax. I've just been running from place to place, taking pills to calm me down, more pills to go to sleep, drinking a glass of wine, trying to relax. Feeling so alone. I never understood what inner peace was. For the first time in my life, Jesus has captured my heart. I'm not alone anymore. He loves me. He died so I could be forgiven. What a shame I never loved him before. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. I'm so glad I'm not alone anymore. How can you top that? One letter like that keeps you going for a long time. It really does. And, you know, we'd get mail like that at the Voice of Prophecy every single day. People who pour out their hearts on beautiful perfume stationery or on the back of a cocktail napkin. Now I get it. All my life I couldn't see. People try to tell me, and I just didn't get it. I was blind. Now I see. Somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit finds his way through to the heart and the eyes, the spiritual eyes. Friend, right now I'd like to share two important points with you. We've explored the beautiful truth that when we're lost, we don't find our own way home. The Father comes looking for us. The Father comes looking for us. And we've seen that when we're blind, we can't make ourselves see again. We need healing from an outside source. We need eye salve that Jesus provides. And yet God so often provides the miracle of restored sight through others. Do you remember the Bible story found in John's Gospel in which Jesus healed a man who was blind from birth? Jesus took a dab of dirt, a bit of saliva, and some of the water from the pool of Siloam to aid in the healing process. Today, just as God may work through the talented, loving eyes of an eye surgeon to bring you physical sight, he uses servants, his people, even his church, to restore spiritual sight to those who are blind. Now think back through your own life. And right now, I'll do the same thing. Think of people who have prayed for you. Parents, school teachers, maybe a godly church member or teacher. Think of people who have opened up the Bible for you and showed you the truth. God used them as his appointed eye surgeons, didn't he? I can remember good books that my mom and dad gave me for Christmas and for my birthday. I can think of 9 million times that my wife Jeannie has been used by God to show me the gift of grace, her prayers for me, her loving words of encouragement. God used her to point me over and over again toward Calvary. Praise God for a good Christian spouse. Jeannie truly is the wind beneath my wings, and the person standing here in this very room right now behind these teleprompters and the cameras and the lights and the computers. Maybe somebody sent you a letter when you were discouraged. A friend, maybe during a moment of darkness, a time of near blindness for you, you tuned on your radio or television and you heard someone speaking for God, a sermon, or just a Bible, powerful gospel message. Maybe they sang a real inspirational gospel song. And God used them to bring you out of darkness into the light. Isn't it marvelous how God works through his servants? You know, right now, maybe he'd like to use you. Maybe you're walking in the light, and your son or daughter or your neighbor is blind. How about it? Is there a letter you could write or a phone call you could make right now? A prayer you could whisper? That's my challenge for you. And I'm writing a note to myself as well. Lonnie, this is for you too. Now, I'm not just a radio program host or a television personality. I've got neighbors and relatives too, and lonely, blind people out there who come into my life every day as well. I want God to use me to turn on the spotlight and let them see the grace that flows from Calvary. One more brief point. The blind man Jesus healed caused quite a stir among the Pharisees and priests, and they asked him, "Who did this?" "Jesus," the man answered enthusiastically. Well, that didn't make them very happy. "This Jesus is a sinner. He's not from God," they insisted. Listen to this marvelous reply in John chapter 9, verse 25, from the man who was seeing the light of day for the very first time. "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." The healing, the return of that man's sight, was proof to him that Jesus was real, that Jesus was the Messiah, the giver of grace, because he saw again. He believed. You know something? 2,000 years later, the same logic works again. When you finally see grace, you believe in the provider of that grace. Our restored vision is the proof we need, the answer to all our questions. So many Christians are walking around praising God because they can see again. That miracle gives validation to the claims of Christ Jesus to be your Savior right now. A little boy went to summer camp and was having a bad time. The other kids picked on him because he was small and clumsy and because he talked funny with a kind of thick slowness. The boys in his cabin called him retard until he was almost in tears. Then a Christian counselor took that little boy aside and told him a story. It was a story about a man and a cross. A man named Jesus. You know, this kid had never heard that story before. Well, the next day, the teasing and the meanness started up again. But this time, the boy just stood there and looked at his attackers. There were no tears this time. Then everybody heard it. Just two words that echoed through the hills of that campsite and down to the valley and to the lake. Two words came from that boy with his slow, clumsy speech. "Good news." Nobody knew what to say to that. "Good news." It was a cry of triumph, a shout of in-your-face victory. Somebody had told that persecuted little guy some good news. Somebody had told him how much he was worth to heaven. "Good news. I once was blind, but now I see."